Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
It was a big weekend in African football. There were 24 qualifying matches played for the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. Reporter Samson Omale has all the results for us. Samson says, please note, the first team named played at home.
In Group A, Sudan 1, Madagascar 3, Senegal 3, Equatorial Guinea 0. Group B, Malawi 1, Comoros Island 0, Cameroon 1, Morocco 0. Group C, Burundi 3, South Sudan 0, Mali 2, Gabon 1. Group D, Algeria 1, Togo 0, Benin Republic 1, Gambia 0. Group E, Libya 5, Seychelles 1, Nigeria 0, South Africa 2. In Group F, Sierra Leone 2, Kenya 1, Ghana 5, Ethiopia 0. In Group G, DR Congo 3, Congo 1, Zimbabwe 3, Liberia 0. In Group H, Central African Republic 2, Rwanda 1, Ivory Coast 2, Guinea 3. In Group I, Burkina Faso 3, Angola 1, Botswana 0, Mauritania 1. In Group J, Niger and Swaziland settled for a 0-0 draw. Tunisia 1, Egypt 0. In Group K, Guinea-Bissau 1, Namibia 0, Zambia 0, Mozambique 1. In Group L, Cape Verde Island 0, Uganda 1, Tanzania 1, Lesotho 1. It might interest you to know that South Africa got their first ever win in a competitive match over Nigeria in Uyo. There have been 6 wins for the Super Eagles and 3 draws since 1992. Newly appointed Bafana Bafana coach Stuart Baxter described the win over Nigeria as special despite going into the game with little preparation.
I know where South African football stands at the moment, and I've worked with them for, as I said, when I came to the camp, lack of preparation time, no warm-up game before. When I came to the camp, I was worried. In a few sessions, they took away my worries. They told me, without actually saying it, that we have a chance, coach. So if we have the same attitude in every game, I'm happy, because we need to develop and we need to win games.
Super Eagles coach Gano Ross said his players played well but did not take advantage of their chances.
Nobody is happy about the result. These young players tried all their best. South Africa was more realistic than us, but when you only have young players, sometimes you must understand that you can lose and you cannot have always a positive result.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
The Voice of America, VOA.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Looking back on the weekend Nations Cup qualifying in Africa, I have knowledge of one player in particular who stood out. Knowledge Musona of Zimbabwe scored a hat trick as the Warriors of Zimbabwe beat visiting Liberia 3-0 in Harare. Musona's first goal came in the 24th minute, and then he found the net two more times in the second half in the 50th and 63rd minutes. Knowledge Musona is based in Belgium with the club KV Oostend. His scoring outburst came as he took over as captain of Zimbabwe for the match against Liberia. The 26-year-old Musona is nicknamed the Smiling Assassin because of his deadly finishing inside the box. He's the first Zimbabwe player to record a hat trick since former star Peter Ndlovu bagged three goals 13 years ago. In another Nations Cup qualifying highlight, Captain Asamoah John became the first player to score 50 goals for the Black Stars of Ghana. The 31-year-old John scored Ghana's opening goal in the 10th minute in a 5-0 thrashing of visiting Ethiopia in Kumasi. Asamoah John is also Africa's all-time top scorer at the FIFA World Cup with 6 goals. Now, the big win over Ethiopia also marked the return of Kwesi Appiah for a second stint as Ghana's head coach. The 56-year-old Appiah previously coached the Black Stars between 2012 and 2014, and he guided Ghana at the 2014 World Cup in Brazil. Kwesi Appiah replaced Israeli coach Avram Grant, who stepped down after leading Ghana to the semifinals at this year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Gabon. Now, Kwesi Appiah officially began his coaching duties last month. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to a report by Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori on Appiah's return.
At the Kutuka International Airport, many Ghanaian soccer fans hail him, drumming and singing with joy for the coach's second coming.
I always believe the voice of the people is always the voice of God. I'll take this opportunity to thank the president of the nation, you know, the FA, and every Ghanaian, you know, up to the last baby born today, you know, for giving me the second chance, you know, to coach the national team. I will do the best that I can, but I can never do it without your help. I will need the support and prayers of every Ghanaian to make our Rastas proud and big again.
Meanwhile, Coach Kwesi Appiah will test his strength on June 28 when the Black Stars play an international friendly against Mexico at Houston's NRC Stadium in Texas, USA. Both teams met twice in 2006 and 2008, and Mexico defeated Ghana in all two meetings. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
Kwabena Ofori mentioned that June 28th international friendly between Ghana and Mexico in Houston, Texas. The Mexicans drew 1-1 with the visiting USA on Sunday night in a 2018 World Cup qualifying match. The USA got off to a great start. In the 6th minute, U.S. captain Michael Bradley scored on a brilliant chip shot from 40 yards, silencing the crowd of 81,000 at Azteca Stadium in Mexico City. Bradley talks about his beautiful goal.
I was able to step into the little back pass from Chicharito. As I took the first touch, I saw Ochoa pretty far off of his line. And you always know that in this stadium, if you can catch a ball clean, that the thin air is really going to take it. And so I was able to... I caught it nice.
Bradley's nice shot soared over the outstretched fingertips of Mexican goalkeeper Guillermo Ochoa and dipped under the crossbar. It was Michael Bradley's 17th international goal for the United States. Mexico got the equalizer, though, on a goal by Carlos Vela in the 23rd minute. Final score from Mexico City. Mexico 1, USA 1 in a 2018 World Cup qualifying match. At the team's post-game dinner, USA coach Bruce Arena awarded the game ball to 35-year-old defender DeMarcus Beasley, who made history by becoming the first American player to appear in five, count them, five World Cup qualifying cycles. The Mexicans, meanwhile, will now travel to Russia for the FIFA Confederations Cup tournament. Mexico leads this CONCACAF World Cup qualifying group with 14 points from six matches. The Americans pulled even with second-place Costa Rica on points with eight, but the Costa Ricans are ahead on goal difference. The top three teams in this group will qualify for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. And the fourth-place team will enter a two-leg playoff against an Asian opponent in November. Turning to tennis, let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Rafael Nadal and Yelena Ostapenko, who won the men's and women's titles at the French Open over the weekend. Ladies first, the 20-year-old Ostapenko rallied to defeat Romania's Simona Halep in the final in three sets, 4-6, 6-4, and 6-3. Ostapenko is the first Latvian player to win a Grand Slam singles title, and she's the first unseeded woman to win the French Open since 1933, going back even further to 1933. After dropping the first set 6-4, Ostapenko dropped behind in the second set 3-0. But then her comeback began. She won 4 games in a row and then sent the match to a decisive third set, during which she overwhelmed Halep. Overall, Ostapenko hit a staggering 54 winners against Halep, who also lost the 2014 French Open final to Russian star Maria Sharapova. Now, in terms of Ostapenko's comeback in Paris, history was not on her side. She's the first woman since American Jennifer Capriati in 2001 to win the singles title at Roland Garros after losing the first set in the final. With Rafa Nadal, no comeback was needed. Rafa achieved la decima, his record 10th French Open title by cruising past 2015 champion Stan Wawrinka of Switzerland in straight sets. Final score from Paris, 6-2, 6-3, and 6-1. No other man or woman has won 10 championships at the same major tournament in the modern Open era. Rafa also now has a total of 15, count them, 15 Grand Slam trophies, breaking a tie with the retired American Pete Sampras and putting Rafa in second place in the history of men's tennis, behind only his rival Roger Federer, who has 18 Grand Slam trophies. Rafa also moved up 2 places to number 2 in the world in the men's rankings released on Monday. Andy Murray of Britain retained his world number 1 ranking after his semifinal exit at the French Open, while Stan Wawrinka stayed at number 3. Serbian star Novak Djokovic, meanwhile, dropped from number 2 to number 4 in the rankings after losing in the quarterfinals in Paris. Roger Federer is still number 5 in the world after missing the French Open for the second year in a row. In the women's rankings, new French Open champion Yelena Ostapenko jumped from 47th to a career-high 12th. Germany's Angelique Kerber kept the number 1 spot, despite being beaten in the first round in Paris. And in terms of history, Angie Kerber is the first woman seeded number 1 to lose in the French Open's first round in the modern professional era, which began in 1968. French Open runner-up Simona Halep moved up 2 places, to number 2 in the world. American star Serena Williams dropped 2 places to number 4 in the world. Serena is taking the rest of this year off because she is pregnant. My Voice of America engineer on this Monday is Dan Crafton, and I want Dan to kick it!
Kick it!
Yeah.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America! They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The National Basketball Association finals resume later Monday night in Oakland, California, where the Golden State Warriors host the defending champion Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 5 of the Best of 7 Championship Series. The Warriors are aiming for their second title in 3 years, and they can lift the trophy with a victory at their Oracle Arena. The Warriors hold a 3-1 lead in this series. I'm sure the Warriors remember how the Cavaliers stormed back from a 3-1 deficit last year to win the title. Cleveland avoided elimination last Friday night by beating Golden State 137-116. That was the first game the Warriors have lost in the 2017 NBA playoffs. Cavaliers guard Kyrie Irving scored a game-high 40 points in Game 4, and afterwards, he had this to say.
Well, we finally settled in, man. It was about damn time. For all of us, just to really see what playing well as a group looks like against a great team like the Warriors. You know, we understand who they have on their team and, what they're about and, how established they are. But I think that in those 3 losses, we lost track of who we were at the same point. We're still a special team as well. I mean, we're here for a reason. We're going against a juggernaut of a team, but we're a juggernaut of a team too. We have some special pieces, and that belief has to not only just be in from an individual, it has to come collectively. So, getting one tonight was a step in the right direction.
Well, it's win or go home for Kyrie Irving and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Later Monday night, they trailed the Golden State Warriors 3-1 in the NBA Finals. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world?
Well, I think the general consensus here in the United States was that the National Basketball Association final was going to be over before the National Hockey League final. They're both going on at the same time, They were up until last night. But the National Hockey League final is over. The NBA final is still going on with the Cleveland Cavaliers hanging on. And the Pittsburgh Penguins of the National Hockey League have taken their second consecutive Stanley Cup. And it's actually the second straight time they've won it on opposing ice, on the opposing team's rink, winning it last night in Nashville. So lots of excitement from Penguins fans for the repeat. Nashville fans, while they were excited to get to their first Stanley Cup final and have the chance to win, they took it to 6 games. A little bit of disappointment that they weren't able to seal the deal. But lots of excitement now about the Stanley Cup and where it's going to be traveling to. One of the traditions in the National Hockey League with the Stanley Cup is that all the different players on the team and the staff and the coaches get to have the Stanley Cup and take it with them wherever they go for a couple days at a time. So we've seen in the past people drinking champagne or other various adult beverages out of the cup. We've seen people put their infant children in the cup and bathe them in the cup. So it's become kind of lore, not just winning the Stanley Cup, but what you do afterwards. So I think we're going to see a lot of that on social media in the coming days and weeks. And even before the final, we saw the Stanley Cup going through the x-ray machine at the airport because the cup travels wherever there's a decisive game so it can be awarded. It has its own minder that travels with it. I believe it has its own seat on the plane even that the Stanley Cup gets. So it's a nice perk for the for an inanimate object.
Congratulations to the Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins. A club that the Washington Capitals are pretty familiar with, right, Andrew?
Yes, they've done the Capitals in quite a few times in the playoffs, and I think that's the general consensus among National Hockey League fans is that They wanted to see someone new win, so Pittsburgh maybe not getting all that much support from general hockey fans out there, but the people in Pittsburgh are certainly happy today.
I think the NBA trophy might be a little smaller than the NHL Stanley Cup, but we could see that lifted later Monday night, right, Andrew?
We could indeed. It's going to be interesting to see if Cleveland can keep the streak going, if they can come back from being 3-0 down. People are saying it would be the greatest comeback. So we'll see. I think it would solidify some of LeBron's goatness as we talk about that term thrown around. And speaking of goatness, we saw quite a lot of goatness, greatest of all time, on the red clay courts of Roland Garros. As you mentioned, Rafael Nadal hoisting his 10th Roland Garros.
La decima.
He got la decima. So lots of excitement about that on social media from none other than Roger Federer. He tweeted out, "Simply incredible, Rafa. Hashtag number 10. Hashtag vamos, Rafa." So we saw a lot of those sentiments around social media over the weekend. And now a lot of questions about Rafa. Will he compete at Wimbledon? In 2008, he won the French Open. He went on to win Wimbledon. 2010, he won the French Open. He went on to win Wimbledon. They're saying, can he do it again in 2017? Rafa said he may not compete at Wimbledon. He said his knee is not holding up as well, and as he gets older, he said he might skip the tournament. So that's going to be very interesting to see. Of course, Federer skipped out on the French Open, said that he wasn't going to do well in the clay court season. Maybe Nadal might do the same for grass. So we're going to have to see about that.
What about on the women's side in Paris, Andrew? Ostapenko raising the racket for Latvia.
What a tremendous Cinderella story. A lot of people saying, who is this? Who is this tennis player? Well, she's arrived in a big way, jumping up 35 spots from number 47 to number 12. It's just a great story. You can see such joy that she had at winning and getting some high praise from Billie Jean King, the great tennis star, said, Yelena Ostapenko, wow, what a place to win your first singles. Congrats on your Roland Garros victory. Hashtag powerhouse. Hashtag a star is born. And that's absolutely what people are saying. A star is born. She's only 20 years old, has got a great tennis career ahead of her. And keep in mind, as Billie Jean King tweeted, this is her first singles title ever. So a heck of a first title to win. Usually it's on the lower, you know, challenger level, whatever. This is her first title at the French Open. Amazing stuff from her.
C'est magnifique.
C'est magnifique indeed.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, another big winner over the weekend was Tapprit and the Belmont Stakes. We talked about this on Friday with the triple crown of U.S. horse racing, overtaking Irish Warcry to win that race. But a lot of people talking about our friend Patch, the one-eyed horse, came in third place, so did pretty well for himself. A lot of people excited about that he came in so high in the Belmont Stakes, won some people some money bet on him, and had
finish.
A nice nice finish for him. And as we talked about on Friday, we have a list of the top 100 earners in sports, some big winners on that list. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Teasing between Ronaldo and Messi. One of them is the number one, but I won't say which until tomorrow. So our listeners are going to have to tune back in tomorrow to see that. And maybe some tennis names, some names that we've talked about on the show on the list. We'll tick through some of those tomorrow.
Thank you, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny.
And that wraps up the June 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to my kicking VOA engineer, Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a look at the challenges facing women and girls in Africa on their road to empowerment. We'll examine the current situation and look ahead at the way forward. On the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
There has been a spike in violence in one of Africa's poorest and most war-torn countries, the Central African Republic, known as CAR. The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs released a report this month saying that the frequency and brutality of attacks against communities have surged to levels last seen in 2014. Entire towns have been emptied, houses burnt down, and women and children brutally killed. The terrifying violence by armed militias in the CAR started in 2012 and intensified when a mostly Muslim rebel group, the Seleka, overthrew President François Bozizé in 2013. Atrocities committed by the Seleka gave rise to a predominantly Christian group to counter it, the Anti-Balaka, which similarly committed untold human rights abuses. Sectarian attacks by each group against each other and against innocent civilians devastated the country. An accord agreed to in 2015 by the rival militias requiring them to disarm, as well as a presidential election in 2016, raised hope for a new and more peaceful future for the country. But many armed rebels did not disarm, and violence has continued, and, as the UN has documented, recently escalated. The security situation in CAR deteriorated last month, leading to more than 300 people killed and over 100,000 displaced. In southeastern CAR, six peacekeepers from MINUSCA, the UN peacekeeping mission in CAR, were killed near the town of Bangassou. In the central town of Bria, violence between rebel groups resulted in thousands of civilians pouring into makeshift camps. The United States is deeply concerned by the recent violence. In a written statement, State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert said, "We strongly condemn these acts of violence and the targeted attacks against humanitarian actors, whose sole purpose in the CAR is to provide life-saving support to the population." Spokesperson Nauert wrote that the United States mourns the deaths of the UN peacekeepers as well. The security and support provided by MINUSCA are essential for the CAR to move beyond crisis, she noted.
"We commend President Faustin Archange Touadéra and his government for their commitment to justice, the rule of law, and accountability for perpetrators of mass atrocities, including through the creation of the Special Criminal Court," said Ms. Nauert. "The United States fully supports justice and reconciliation, not only as measures for individuals who have suffered, but as essential steps towards building a peaceful and inclusive CAR."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.